the work of Christ. We started off at St. Patrick's Day, and very appropriately, the simplicity of St. Patrick and just the triune God, the basics of the faith. There's a depth there, but yet the simplicity of the gospel. And unfortunately, in our culture and in the church, when we try to help God out, we can create other problems. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear lest the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And as an illustration, how many of you know this great work of literature? Any of you familiar with this? The King, the Mice, and the Cheese? Do you people read? This is a classic. And Rich, this has pictures for Marines to color. But this is a great book about a king who liked his cheese, and if Katie were here, good Wisconsin cheese, but he had a problem with mice in the palace. And so he had to get rid of the mice. What do you do to get rid of mice? He brought in cats. And so now the cats took over the palace and were lounging all over and creating all sorts of problems. So how do you get rid of cats? You bring in dogs. And so now he has dogs lying around and swimming in his fountain and eating his food and everything. How do you get rid of dogs? You bring in lions. And so now he has lions to get rid of the dogs. But now there's lions all over his palace. How do you get rid of lions? You bring in elephants. And so now elephants are in the fountain spurting water and stomping all over and trampling the yard and everything. How do you get rid of elephants? You bring back mice. And so when you try to solve a problem by coming up with a creative answer, you can create other problems to solve the problem in unintended consequences. And when it comes to the gospel, folks, when we try to help God out and create Jesus in our image or have defective understandings about who he is or make him relevant, we can create more problems than it is worth. So I would commend to you that great work of literature. And the pictures are great. I don't remember much from my childhood, but I can remember the pictures of the elephants and everything stomping around in the king's palace. Well, when it comes to theology, Bible-believing church folks, Christians, evangelicals, listen to this. God counts a person as righteous, not because of one's works, but only because of one's faith in Jesus Christ. That's the question. 83% agree. That's concerning to me that 17% don't understand it's about Christ and not works. Next question. Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin. Well, 90% agree with that. That still concerns me that 10% don't. Final question then concerning this topic. Only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. 100%? No. 88%. So once again, higher, but see, that folks, this is what concerns me. And I think better of you that we know better, and that's one of the reasons we're going through this series. And so like we've been going through convictions, what we believe, that's important to know what God's word said, and the importance of using creeds for teaching to help us. So the Apostles' Creed, we've been using the statement of faith of my denomination because it's very simple and keeps the main things the main thing, and using, if you will, an outline, this book that explains the statement of faith of the Evangelical Free Church, which ultimately it's about orthodoxy, right thinking for, we all come from different denominations, but things we hold in common that are essential truths for what is called the universal or the Catholic, small c, church, which just means universal. So very important. But then it's not just, okay, do we know this stuff? Hopefully it is something we believe, it's something to help us in our thinking, our worldview, or help us in living our lives. That's very important. So today, as we look at the work of Christ, God's gospel, the good news, is accomplished through the work of Christ. And so the premise, like I said, we are not going to be conformed to this world. There's a lot of misunderstanding, obviously, about all these topics, but the person of Jesus, and now today, what did Jesus, the work of Christ? Don't be conformed to the world's thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's one of God's word. That's why right thinking helps with right action. We've started off looking at who God is, what the Bible is, how bad the human condition, how bad sin is, and then who Jesus is as a person. Now we're looking at building on that. We're sort of progressively going through, if you will, the biblical story. There's a sort of a progress here, the unfolding of salvation, and so the work of Christ, the biblical progression. And so you have this printed in your bulletin. You have the notes. There's copies of the notes with all the Bible verses. Once again, I leave that homework to you because I don't have time to go through all the verses, but I would encourage you to do your homework. You can get as much or little out of this as you want. But we believe that Jesus Christ, as our representative and substitute, shed his blood on the cross as the perfect, all-sufficient sacrifice for our sins. His atoning death and victorious resurrection constitute the only ground for salvation. So here, what are some of the big topics that come that are important? As we see what the Bible says, and like I said, you can get the verses. The Apostles' Creed deals with this a lot. But what are some of the important things we're going to look at today? The importance of the blood and the cross. Folks, that's central. The word atonement, big word, we'll talk about that a little bit, and that Jesus is our representative, substitute, and a sacrifice. Like in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, dead, and buried, and he descended into Hades, which actually that meant he was really dead. That's a side topic, but the idea of a sacrifice, crucified, dead, and buried. And that we can have victory in Jesus. Like in the Apostles' Creed, he rose again the third day from the dead and ascended into heaven. What is the importance of that? And folks, it is Christ alone. Period. Full stop. And so, for example, in the Apostles' Creed, the communion of saints as Jesus is our representative, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body in Christ alone. So what does that have to do with our lives and, more importantly, probably or also our thinking? That right thinking leads to right actions. And so our worldview, especially in this area, the world gets it wrong. And unfortunately in the churches, and a lot of pastors like me lead a lot of people astray with a misunderstanding of this very central. If, you know, all of God's word is obviously important. But when it comes to the person and work of Christ, folks, if you don't get that right, we're wasting our time. And there's no point in being here. Nothing else ultimately matters. And so, the blood and the cross being central, we sang, there is a fountain filled with blood. I mean, that's a sort of a gory picture, isn't it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And in fact, looking back in the Old Testament, those bloody sacrifices, sometimes you read the Old Testament, you're thinking, man, that's gory. And that's purposefully that way. Leviticus 17, verse 11, God says, for the life, talking about sacrifices and all those animals that were sacrificed on the altar, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And so the Old Testament animal sacrifices that ultimately were pointing forward to the ultimate sacrifice, as Jesus said at the Lord's Supper as he instituted the new covenant, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so, folks, we live in a culture and a picture of Jesus. We don't like talking about blood, and it's squeamish. And there's a lot of gore on TV, and if you watch the shooting in New Zealand and the guy's GoPro, there's a lot of violence that goes on. But when it comes to the cross, folks, that is central because obviously when it comes to sin and God's wrath against sin. But there are those who don't like to think of God being angry at sin. And why would he sacrifice Jesus, this son? That's cosmic child abuse. Folks, we cannot let the niceties of current culture inform how we believe something as central as the person and work of Christ. As we read last week's verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31, the message of the cross and the blood and the gore and all that is foolishness to those who are perishing. And it's a stumbling block to those enlightened religious thinkers of the day. Folks, we have a world that doesn't like the fact that that's just too simplistic and too exclusive. What about the atonement? That's a big word, and if you have the old King James version captured in good old Shakespearean-type language, atonement, at-one-ment, how it makes us at one, reconciling the relationship, restoring a relationship with a holy God as sinners. So that word atonement covers a lot of things, the importance of a complete sacrifice, the statement of faith from the E-Free Church, a perfect. That's why Jesus, we looked at who Jesus is as fully God as well as fully man. He is a perfect sacrifice and all sufficient. You don't need any more. If God the Son dies, you don't need, obviously, more sheep, more blood. That takes care of it once for all. And it is a sacrifice. Jesus had to die, a little more on that in a minute, had to die on the cross. And it's one time, folks, once for all. Verses in the Old Testament, the picture of the priests slaughtering all those animals continually, year after year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Hebrew word is tied to atonement, to, if you will, cover the sins, ultimately looking forward to the one sacrifice that takes away sins, Jesus. But the priests continually, all the time, even today, there are those that think that obviously there has to be a continuing nature of the sacrifice. Folks, it's complete in the the person of Christ. Like we sang, nothing for sin can atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Okay? And so those sacrifices of the Old Testament, looking forward to the perfect sacrifice that we look back to and put our trust in the person and work of Christ. And folks, and here's where the train goes off the rails in other religions, the world, and unfortunately in the church. A lot of liberal denominations have different theories about the atonement. The more subjective theories, which it's about us. So you notice how the focus becomes on us. So that Jesus, a moral influence. Oh, it's just going to warm our hearts to see what Jesus did. And so it's going to make us feel better. In fact, that's one of the primary guys that advocated that was a good Frenchman who was in love with a woman that he just was in love and he just wanted to feel the love. Well, you're going to see there's truth in all of these, but if that's all it is about you melting your heart because of how much God loves us, that's nice, but that does not sufficient. Or an example. Jesus is an example. Of course he is. What would Jesus do? But that's just it, that Jesus gave of himself. We should give of ourselves too. Well, that may be true, and that's good. We discussed that in adult Bible study. But if that's the extent of what Jesus did on the cross, deficient. Or good lawyer, good Dutch lawyer, the governmental theory. God demanded punishment, and so he made a stunning display to put his son on trial and convict him, and that's now the judge is satisfied, and so now he can overlook. No, that's defective as well. And so, in fact, listen to this quote from a guy named James Denny, The Death of Christ. Listen to this. Denny observed, in effect, that a man jumping off a pier, a dock, yelling, "I love you, world," before he sinks to the bottom would be considered a misguided madman. But if he jumps off the pier to save someone who is drowning and gives his life in the process, he becomes a real hero. So Jesus' death must be more than a vague declaration of love. It must be an actual achievement. Did you catch that? And so there's an objective reality to what Jesus did, the atonement on the cross. And there are different theories on that, that God had to pay a ransom to Satan, a lot of defective views when it comes to the victory of Christ over Satan. True, once again, but not complete. Also, the idea of satisfaction, that God demanded satisfaction like a lord demanding satisfaction from his serfs back in the old Middle Ages. There's elements of truth in all of that. But ultimately, the idea of what is called, bigger term here, the penal substitutionary. You can see words. Penalty comes from a Latin word for punishment, and a substitute. Jesus is our substitute and paying the penalty. Why is there a penalty? Well, for the deserved, a penalty deserved by the wrath of God against our sin. Sin is worse than we think it is. And can you see how this is tied to a holy God? Sin is infinitely evil. And so there has to be a penalty paid. And so that's why the penalty. So the picture, if you will, like Old Testament sacrifices, all that blood, Passovers were the coming up on the in the Easter season and Easter time during the Jewish feast of Passover, where God redeemed his people out of Egypt. And remember on the 10 plagues and that last plague, they put the blood over the doorposts so that God would pass over the people. Blood sacrifice. On the Day of Atonement, the scapegoat. We use that term in our culture, but the idea of a scapegoat. Two goats, one and chosen by lots, and one sacrificed. One was led out in the wilderness. The high priest would confess all the sins of the people of Israel on the scapegoat, and then they would lead the goat out into the wilderness as if that goat is taking away the sins of the people. What a great picture, ultimately, that was accomplished in Christ. Now, I love Jewish tradition. We don't want to just lead that goat out because it may come wandering back into camp. So then pretty soon they started taking that goat out in the wilderness and kicking it off a cliff so that the goat couldn't wander back in. But the picture of God's blood, of the blood being required for the sacrifice. Folks, that's the punishment that is required. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, talking about Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So folks, the substitute, Jesus is our substitute and paid the penalty, because you can't be good enough of a person. You can't die enough deaths to satisfy a holy God for your sin. But then another word that's used in the E-Free Statement of Faith, Jesus is our representative. He represents us. And so when you hear me talk about it, and the Bible talks about being in Christ, if you are a Christian, you are in Christ. And so in his death, and it helps us in our life. So instead of being in Adam, sin nature, we are in Christ. He then is our representative. And big concept, that all our bad baggage is reckoned to Jesus' account on the cross, and our disobedience is reckoned to him for during his life, and all his good credits are reckoned, accounted to our ledger, so that Jesus died in our place. That's the passive. He died on our behalf, in our stead, but he also lived a perfect life that we couldn't, because the standards for heaven are 100%. Any of you score 100% on life to get into heaven? You know, Billy Graham didn't, Mother Teresa didn't. Only one human in all of history has lived that perfect of a life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are in Christ as our representative, We get 100% on the test because God doesn't look at us. He looks at Jesus' test score. What a great picture, folks, and that gives me hope. And so in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, therefore in all things Jesus had to be made like his brethren, the humanity of Jesus, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation, to appease the wrath for the sins of the people. Jesus is our representative. You deserve it. I deserve everlasting, eternal, conscious punishment. The reality of hell. We'll be talking about that in several weeks. But Jesus bore the wrath of God, folks. We have to face the reality of that, but the good news is that he did that for us. So, John Stott, you've probably heard his name in a book, The Cross of Christ, can say it a lot better than I can. Listen to this. The essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. Man asserts himself against God and puts himself where only God deserves to be. God sacrifices himself for man and puts himself where only man deserves to be. Man claims prerogatives which belong to God alone. God accepts penalties which belong to man alone. Isn't that powerful? Think about it. That's how bad sin is and how much, if you will, it costs for God's grace to be as big as it is. And so then the idea of the resurrection, victory in Jesus. Dennis doesn't like the song Victory in Jesus. That's why we didn't sing it today. The one day we should have been singing it. 3/8 of a brain. He does okay. But thank you to Jim. Where's Jim Rogers? Jim played it for us. So, but victory in Jesus. And so the idea of why is the resurrection important? Well, come back on Easter Sunday, right? But the resurrection, the reality of the empty tomb means that Jesus conquered death, which is a result of sin. He conquered sin and death. So the victory in Christ, that is very important. But also then the idea of it vindicates the work of Christ. So everything Jesus said and his disciples didn't believe it, the religious leaders didn't believe it, the world doesn't believe it today, but it vindicates what he did and validates who he is. That's one of the tomb is empty. And that's why Easter Sunday is so important, Resurrection Sunday. And because of that, the victory over death, and Jesus as the first fruits, that's a very important, it's a Jewish feast, but the idea of the first fruits guaranteeing the harvest, folks, that's good news for us. Because a dead man got up and walked, literally, and bore the penalty for our sin. Those of us who are Christians, who have put our trust in Christ alone, we are guaranteed that resurrection body, that when Jesus comes back to get his bride, the church, we are a picture of the bride of Christ. He's coming back to get us to spend all eternity. We are guaranteed that, folks. And so there are days when I'm hungry and I haven't had enough bacon and I haven't slept enough and I'm grumpy and you people are being mean to me. I don't feel loved, but I know that I know that I know that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with my Heavenly Father because of what Jesus did. Folks, that's powerful. And that in our world, you know, you turn on the news and you get depressed, that gives me hope. And it's not subjective based on a nice teacher. Jesus, oh, he's a nice teacher. He's the best teacher. But ultimately, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so, grace, greater than our sin. Boy, sounds like 3 points, right? Sin is bad, but grace is bigger than our sin. That's Romans chapter 5, towards the end of that chapter. So what? What's the importance? Question. Who can stand before a holy God? Anybody going to raise your hand? Oh, on your own. you know, or the question for evangelism, if God were to ask you why I should let you into my heaven, what would you say? And the minute you start talking about you and how good you are, who can stand before a holy God? That's the importance of the work of Christ. In Christ alone, as the statement of faith, the E-free statement, he is the only, not A, he is the only ground for salvation. And so because of that, folks, don't add to the gospel the good news about the perfect, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You can't do anything, but you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. Then what is the gospel? What is the content, the good news about what Jesus did? That's 1 Corinthians 15. Death, burial, bodily resurrection, seen by eyewitnesses in a court of law, if you will. There's some objective facts there. Don't add to the gospel. And folks, that means that what we believe is exclusive. There is only one way. There's only one true God, and there's only one way to that true God to spend eternity in heaven. And that's through the person of Christ. Like he said in the upper room, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when Peter's preaching, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Folks, we live in a culture that doesn't like that. You Christians, you're so narrow-minded. Well, we can be jerks about a lot of stuff, but when it comes to the exclusive nature about salvation, folks, we cannot shilly-shally. We cannot be wishy-washy. We hold it with humility. We don't, you know, because it's nothing we do. For us, it's what God has done for us. But we have to be clear that there is only one way of salvation. Because in a world, there are things like pluralism, many paths to God, or what's called inclusivism instead of exclusivism. Inclusive. Well, Jesus died for everybody, and so he's paid the penalty, so you can believe as long as you're sincere, whatever it is you believe, Jesus took care of it. That is not what God's word says. And that is not who Jesus is and what he did. In fact, well, I'll leave big phrase, but bottom line, Jesus is the only way. Sin's bad, grace is big, it's Jesus, right? He is the biblical Savior. And so when we try to add to the gospel, add to Jesus, you start trying to get rid of the mice in the king's palace, and you create more problems. And pretty soon, you've got a bigger problem where it was Jesus all along. St. Patrick, that was one of the beautiful story. He kept it simple and kept, you know, that it's the simplicity of a godly man who was captured by pirates in Ireland and went back to Ireland to witness to the people that had abused him, the simplicity of Christ. God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. It's Christ alone. And what was one of the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross? But what did he say on the cross? One of them, it is finished. Don't add to that. And I'm not going to read a quote, but the idea of just ultimately what God has done for sinners like we. Do you believe that? Do you live that way? Do you think that way? Because folks, it's all important, but I hope you can see I'm steely-eyed right now. This has eternal consequences. The world doesn't get it, and unfortunately in the church, a lot of times Jesus is nice, but the minute you say but, you are negating the Jesus of the Bible. Have you and me believed, trusted the gospel? And do we live our lives in that reality? Because God's gospel is accomplished solely through the work of Christ. Next time, next Sunday, we will be talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And actually, I'll be able to summarize that, because if you want to, we did about a four-week mini-series in August. So you can go back. It's online. Linda and Lauren have it there. If you want the fuller picture, we'll be summarizing, if you will, that. But who is the Holy Spirit, and how does he, not it, how does he play a role in all of this for the glory of God alone? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. May we trust in what he has done and who he is. And then for the most of us in this room who are Christians, may we recognize we are complete in him, and that we can relax in your arms. May we please you out of grateful hearts, knowing that Jesus was the Lamb of God that ultimately took away our sin. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.